Good morning. My name is Alexis Green. My husband Nick and my daughter Henley have had the absolute privilege to attend Grace Meadows for almost 6 years. I've also been blessed with the opportunity to help lead our women's ministry here, known as Women of Grace. And this morning, our scripture is from the first chapter of Mark, verses 16 through 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and with hired servants and followed him. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then.
Well, good morning, guys. How are you all this morning? Hey, it's a great day. Can we just acknowledge that? Like, we have had, well, yeah, come on. Like, we have had rain for days, and now it's sunny and 70, and it's just beautiful. So I'm real thankful to be with you all this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity that the elder team gives here for us to have an opportunity to share with you all. The Lord is really, truly moving in this church, and the reason I say that is because in the good and in the bad, we have seen the church come together to impact this community and this people, and it has been a thing of beauty. And I, like, if nothing gets you excited, please let that get you excited, because he is working, he is moving, he is alive. And the only thing that came to me in the last few minutes before I came up here was, great is your faithfulness, God. And so we praise you for that this morning. We're getting ready to dive into the Critical Journey book, and Dallas. Dallas headed it off last week, and he gave us a really awesome overview. I've personally been looking really forward to this. This book has been really good for me personally. It's been good for me to learn about myself in this journey, but also, like all of us, how we journey through our walk with Christ, where it starts, where it happens in the middle, sometimes what happens to us, and where we end up. And in that, I hope we all get to gain something from this book. So before we jump in, I would love for us to pray this morning. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Father God, we love you and we thank you for this. We thank you for the beauty of the sunshine. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, to meet, to learn about you, God. God, I pray just that your words be had this morning. God, I pray that something happens in our hearts this morning. Something for you. God, it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so stage one. Stage one is as Dallas outlined, it was the awe, but I'm going to call it the recognition of God stage. And this is really when we first recognize who God is. So please do a little exercise with me, and miss, men, this includes you, because I know if I was sitting there, I'd be like, okay, he wants me to do an exercise. Stick with me, I promise. All right. So I want you to think back to a time when you have met someone of really great significance or importance to you. All right, this could be your spouse if you're married. This could be your soon-to-be spouse. This could be just the closest of friends. I want you to think about that interaction. Think about those moments. How did they come about? Did they come about through a moment of just kind of natural awareness to that? Were you actively looking for that person? Are you that really extroverted person and you're just always on the lookout for somebody new? I mean, that's not me, but I know there's a few of you out here, and I appreciate you guys because you're the guys that are just like, good morning, hey, how are you guys? I don't have that energy, but I appreciate that you all do. God bless you with that. But perhaps when you met that person, it was in a moment of great need. Perhaps you met that person in a moment of grandeur. And when I say that, I mean, think like the moment of love that happens in the movies, okay? The way we meet them is often something that sticks with us, something that we remember, something that impacts us. it's a wonderful memory we share. How did you first meet? People always want to know that. People ask us that all the time, right? How did you first meet? What's your story? The reason we ask that is we love stories. We value stories. We spend our free time and our mental capacity in stories. That's what we like. That's what is impactful. And it's not just impactful to us. Our story is impactful to others. There's books, there's Netflix series, there's movies, all these things about relationships, but we have one of our own that we get to share too. So think about that time. I know I've asked you all to do an exercise, and I hope it's kind of spinning in the background, but I'm going to share with you what happened when I did this exercise myself, because I wouldn't have asked you to do it if I wasn't willing to do it myself. So I thought back, and the person that comes of significance to me is Susan. It's my wife of almost 12 years. I'm going to hold it together. We met in grad school. I saw her, and I was smitten, and I was swept off my feet in that very moment. Our ultimate relationship and our marriage, it developed from a friendship, and I had a recognition of her that was contagious to me. And I'm uncertain of really when it began, but I know when I did realize that something had happened for me, I said, I intend to marry this girl, and I stopped the pursuit of anything else and really focused on her. Now, alternatively, and I'll be honest, I've not completely verified these statements with Susan, so I'm going to ask for forgiveness ahead of time. I'm pretty sure when she saw me, she was like, yep, that's the one. Maybe not. I had to try. I did have to try. No, but in truth and probably in greater accuracy, I lovingly pursued her for 12 to 16 months. But either way, I'm almost over the fact that she wasn't like, yeah, but he's the one. Almost. All right. See, the relationships or the recognition of those relationships, they occur. And some occur over time and some occur instantly. Some develop with time that occurs naturally. Some develop with intentionality. Others of moments of desperation, of rescue, or rejection. See, no matter how they occur, the moment we recognize them, that is key. And that is what I hope you've been thinking about. When we recognize that person, something in our life changes. Those relationships that you've thought of that most likely changed your life, the impact those earthly relationships brought, they're tiny. They're so small when you think of the everlasting impact of meeting God for the first time. See, we can't be ready for when we meet God. And I'll say that in another way. You cannot have studied or prepared to meet God. Why? Because his grandeur, his grace, his love, his might, we can't quantify that. And when that moment happens, it will truly change your life. When you recognize God, he will change you. See, whatever leads us to begin our journey, it usually starts with awe or the recognition. I remember the awe when I first met Susan. I was amazed by her. It changed me. It made me want to know her more, to pursue her. But man, the moment when I first recognized God, he did a work in me in like a split second, like the fastest surgeon that I've ever seen. And he began working in my soul. When we first recognize God, we recognize that there is something bigger than ourselves, something that is larger than life, someone who is the creator of the universe and all of it. We are hooked. We are amazed. We're like a kid or an adult at Disney for the first time, if that's your thing. Like the castle doesn't do it for me, but it's okay. That's okay, because I know there's a lot of y'all that are like, well, I thought I liked them, but I don't know. Doesn't like Disney. But alternatively, I was thinking like, we got a chance to visit the Ark a few years ago in Kentucky, and if you haven't, it's a pretty cool experience. But I would tell you to stand at the base of the Ark and look up, and then you can't help but to think, wow. Like how did he do this? How did he do this? Or if you're more of a big city person, please head to Chicago, head to New York, stand on the street and look up on the sidewalk. not in the middle of the road. Dallas likes to stand in the middle of the road. He doesn't like to look both ways. Trust me, y'all. Like, stand on the sidewalk, but look up. And you cannot help but to be amazed when you recognize how small you are and how monstrous these other things are. That is the moment of awe. That is the moment of just amazement and wonder. But no matter how big those structures or those buildings or that castle is for you, God is bigger than that. Like, I'm here to assure you this morning that God is bigger than that. And when we have that moment, it is most likely with a feeling of awe and amazement and wonder. When you experience the awe of God, when it hits you, when you recognize who he is, the magnitude of who he is, the God of the universe, the one who wants to be in a relationship with me, with you. Like, I don't know about y'all, but I'm bent, I'm broken, I'm selfish. I'm not always the best of persons. But when that hits you, it takes your breath away. It makes your heart stop. But if you will sit with that for just a second, he will give you breath. He will make your heart beat. And when that happens, that is the life that stirs our souls. So sit with that for a moment. Thank him for that for a moment. Praise him for that for a moment. But please do not forget that moment. We're going to come back to that. So we're going to throw Mark 1, 16 through 20 up on the screen, and I appreciate Alexis reading that for us this morning. But I want to give you a little context going into this. So in Jewish tradition, you went through schooling, and your part of your schooling was learning and memorizing the first five books, or the Torah. And usually you completed this by about ages 12 to 13, both boys and girls. And at that point in time, they sent you back to your families. Okay, so families had trades. That's where they developed their income. That's where their livelihood came from. If you were exceptionally talented or gifted in your education or schooling, you got to go on. And hopefully you got to a point where you're able to sit under a rabbi, to learn from a rabbi, and move into that line instead of the trade line of your life. Okay, so kind of keep that in mind as we're going through these scriptures this morning. So let's read the scripture together. Mark 1, 16 through 20. It says, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And immediately they left their nets, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats, mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they followed him. This account in Mark is also detailed in Matthew, and it is when Jesus calls the first disciples. There is something that happens here that happens so quickly and suddenly that I feel like we can almost miss it if we're not paying attention. So Jesus is walking down the seashore and he sees these guys fishing. I want to pause there for just a second. So the Sea of Galilee in this particular area is a very booming area. This is an area people are seeking. This particular area of the sea is very fruitful for fishing. So there's lots of fishing. There's lots of commerce. Jesus has been in this area for a while, and he's teaching, and he's slowly making his way through. And so for him to be walking along the seashore, talking to fishermen or interacting with people would be no different than us sitting on the beach and people walking by and having some interactions. But pay attention here. Please, please pay attention. Jesus calls out to them as he's walking down the seashore, and he says, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And the next line says this, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Let's continue on with this together, because this doesn't just happen once. They continue walking down a little further, and Jesus sees James and John in their boat, and he sees that they're working and mending their nets, and he can see that the others are in the boat. And the scripture says, he immediately called them, and they left their father in the boat with their helpers, and they followed him. There are a few key words here that I want to address. That word is immediately, or in, I looked at some other translations, it says at once, and I looked in KJV, and it says straight away. Something happens when we recognize God, and he calls us to follow him. See, those guys, they had aged out of their opportunity to step further into their understanding and relationship in studying the scriptures. So they stayed into that trade route. And here comes Jesus, and they don't fully know who he is, and he's walking down the seashore, and he says, hey, follow me. And they recognize a moment, they have a recognition of God, and they drop their nets. That can only happen because there is a supernatural, heavenly draw and a calling of Jesus that made these men commit themselves to him, his teachings, but to also pay the cost of walking away from their trade. Can you throw that second bullet point up for me, please? Follow me. Imagine this with me. You're working your job. You're doing what you've been trained to do, what you've gone to school to do, or gone to trade to do. You've committed yourselves to it. It is the way that you provide for you, your families, for your loved ones. You put in your time, your sweat, your energy. Okay, you've been learning. You purchased equipment. And someone walks into your office. Someone walks onto your job site. Someone walks into your classroom. And they say, follow me. Follow me. I mean, I'd have a moment of like, do what? Who are you? I'm sorry, who are you again? How'd you get back here? Right? I would be melting. Church, lean in with me for just a second, please, because I know we've been heavy in this for just a few. Susan brought awe to me, and I wanted to know her. We began a relationship with like a childlike innocence. I wanted to know her, and she wanted to know me. But she didn't marry me right away. In fact, it took a while. You know, but ultimately, she made the right choice. But seriously, though, I mean, she sought a relationship by learning me. All of my faults and failures. I learned, like, I think she has two. But over time, I convinced her to marry me, and I'm really thankful because I got the better end of that deal. But see, these guys, these fishermen, these first disciples of Jesus, that didn't happen for them. These guys, they jumped right in. They recognized immediately in that moment that there is something bigger, that there is something bigger than themselves, and they left their nets and their boats and their families, and they said, I'm all in. Jesus says to them, follow me, and they immediately go. They know of Jesus, but they don't know fully of who he is. There was not a moment of, hold on one second, can I see your credentials? Like, where did you go to seminary? How did you get here? No. The scripture leaves no room for confusion. Immediately, at once, straight away, they dropped their nets, and they said, I'm in. Drop your nets. What causes us to want to drop our nets? It's the recognition of God. It's the awe of God. Church, what would happen if we all dropped our nets? What would happen if we gave such recognition to God and who he is that we dropped our nets and said, God, I'm all in? That only happens when we recognize who he is. Think about that for a moment. That God, the God who spoke us into existence, the creator, the same one who created the heavens and the earth, the birds and the lilies, the mountains, and you and I. That God, He's here with us, right here, and he wants to know us personally. That in itself is all, that he would want to know us, that he would want to know me. But that all is an amazing moment that is bigger than life itself. That's an all bigger than the Disney castle, than the Ark, or than the big city skyscrapers. That is God who wants to know you and I personally. Can you throw that Proverbs scripture up? Proverbs 1:7 says, "The awe or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The awe or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We recognize him. He says, "Follow me." We drop our nets, and it is the beginning of our journey. Some of us may have found God out of a sense of need, out of pain, loneliness, suffering, depression, anger, great need. And God comes close to us in times, in those times. Psalms 34 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit." There is such a beautiful moment in Scripture in Psalms 23 when we see our dependence is on God. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters," right? He restores our soul. God loves us. He cares for us. He gives us reason to push into life. Those debilitating guilts, those weights that we carry on our neck, around us, that try and sink us, like, he doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want that for us. He wants to take those. And when we meet him, and when we let him share his true forgiveness with us, it sinks down in our souls, and it takes those weights, and they're gone. And we have freedom of our souls in him. When that happens, we cannot help but to respond with anything other than the recognition of him being God. He creates in us new, a new life, true love, acceptance, forgiveness. He fills our hopelessness. I remember when my wife and my son both said, "I love you." I remember the way it made me feel, the comfort that I had in that moment of being seen by them for who I am, all my faults, all my failures. Now magnify that. Magnify that to the infinite capacity, and that is the level of comfort and acceptance that God offers. And he floods us when we recognize him. He sees us, he loves us, he forgives us. When this occurs, I encourage you, drop your nets. Better yet, throw your nets, because there's something worth saying, "I'm all in." These men, the first disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, John, these guys dropped their nets. They dropped them and left everything they knew to follow a man that they knew little about. Those guys went on a journey with Jesus to change the world, and they did just that. This is where our journey starts. It starts from a moment or an interaction with the God of the universe, and it changes us. What would it look like for us, church, to be a community who says, "I'm in, I'm in"? That we stop casting our proverbial nets, and when we hear the call of "follow me," we drop them and we run to him. What would it look like for us to be a community whose sole focus was on the journey of discipleship in Jesus? For us to step into the awe of God and through a relationship with him, radically change our families and our communities. Return to those moments. We talked about it earlier. Return to those moments. Worship team, you guys can start making your way back up. Now, I would like to say, for those of us who have already had that recognition of God moment in your life, please find time to remember that. Please seek to revisit that moment. Please find time to walk yourself back through that moment or that spark when you first recognized God, who he was, and who he could be in your life. Seek to light those spaces in your heart when you heard, "Follow me," and you dropped your net. Because I encourage you, as we go through this journey together, you will find that even as we progress through the stages, we have moments where we will backslide. We have moments where we will return to our preferred stages for whatever reason. But I believe that if we can keep in the forefront of our journey the moment that it began, we can always remember why we started it in the first place. We're going to experience pain. We're going to experience hardships, anger, depression, divorce, cancer, death. We will experience those things. Dallas brought it up. He didn't sugarcoat it, and I'm here to echo it. We will experience those things. But if we can focus on that recognition moment, or those moments when we first heard, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, and throw down your nets," you're rooted. You're rooted. Our journey starts out of the recognition that there is something bigger than us who created all of this, and God, who is the creator, that wants to be in a personal relationship with you and I. We are all busy in our life and our routines, or we're in a moment of need and wonder. And that moment of awe when God says to us, "Follow me," it's coming, or it's been. If you're here with us this morning and you're one of those fishermen just casting your nets and laboring hard at life, consider hearing the call of "Follow me." Consider throwing your nets, drop them, and run. Say, "Here I am, and I promise you, he will change your life." Would you all bow your heads with me this morning? God, I thank you for who you are, for how you love us, for God being in those moments where we're in our everyday lives, and you say, "Hey, would you come follow me? Would you come follow me?" And we, without hesitation, drop our nets and we run to him. God, we thank you for being present, for being a God who is working, a God who loves us, a God who is intentional about seeking relationship with us. God, this morning, we love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Would you please stand and worship with us this morning?